Media Pro Studios.
Hello and welcome. I am back with an interesting third episode in this special series on Watches and Wonders 2023, Bigger, Better and Crazier. In this episode, I'm joined by fellow visitors from India who witnessed the grandeur of the exhibition. First up is Rizwan Bachao. I chat with him to learn about his experiences, touch points, takeaways, the prep work before the show, and how different it is as an influencer capturing this experience. Let's hear from Rizwan Bachao, luxury lifestyle influencer who has visited Watches and Wonders for the second year this time. Welcome, Rizwan.
Thank you, Anita, for having me on your podcast.
My pleasure. As an influencer, Rizwan, which timepiece or brands impressed you this year?
Okay, that's a tough question because there were quite a few brands which I could connect with. Now, you know, from, like you mentioned, a luxury lifestyle influencer. So from my perspective, what I really like about a timepiece is if, you know, I can own that timepiece in the future, if it'll look good on my wrist. Mm-hmm. So, you know, beyond all the other complications and all the other things that go into making a watch, for me, I connect with a watch if I can wear it on my wrist. So from that perspective, I had a few favorites this year. Starting with Rolex, of course, 1908, and luckily Roger Federer was wearing it just day before, so it sort of got me those memories back from Watches and Wonders, one of my most favorite, sort of most clean dials. I like the IWC Engineer, if that's it, that is how you pronounce it. Again, the whole Gerald Genta connection, and for any, you know, watch enthusiast, that's a, you know, a fanboy moment. So I like the way they sort of got that inspiration back into the new watches. I like what Panerai did with their annual calendar. Finally, there's an annual calendar on a Radio Mir. Montblanc 1858 IC. I love the grey dial with the bracelet. What are the other watches that I can remember at the back of my head? I like what Tag Heuer did with the Carrera. You know, those fresh, bright colors. Again, it's very sort of offbeat, not very mainstream, but that's something I want to wear on my wrist. So, you know, it's very, you know, quite a fun sort of dial to have on your wrist. So that is one watch. Again, I really liked Tudor Black Bay 54. Huge fan of Tudor again. So that's again a category that Black Bay is something that I want to own very soon. So of course, JJ LeCoultre, the Reverso Tribute. Reverso again is one of my most favorite watches on my wish list. Hopefully I'll own one soon. So JLC Reverso Tribute was one more watch that sort of got my attention. So a few that I can think of, there were many more.
I do agree with the 1908 Rolex. That's my favorite as well. And you're right, IWC Engineer, which has Gerald Genta inspiration. Yes, for sure. JJ LeCoultre as well. You're so correct on those. But this is a personal choice. And what you mentioned to me, aesthetics and the comfort along with aesthetics is what matters the most to you.
No, absolutely. Like I said, for me, a watch connection happens. You know, I always start thinking about how will this watch look on my wrist. Mm-hmm. You know, so aesthetics is always the top priority. You know, then I wouldn't really care about, you know, whether it's a diamond studded watch or if it has some crazy complications or a skeleton dial, but how will it look on my wrist? How can I style it with my outfits, or what is the story behind that watch? So aesthetics, yes, and also the inspiration and the story.
Now we all know the secret behind the success story of Rizwan, how he styles himself and how he presents himself. Great, thank you. I think you were there only for 2 days or three days.
I was there for like 2.5 days.
Wow. I think you must have spent literally 2 days living within the Watches and Wonders because you've seen so many brands.
Of course, and you know, that's the fun part for me as a watch enthusiast. The schedules are crazy and you're running from one booth to another. But the whole excitement of touching and feeling a watch that has just launched is, you know, I cannot explain it, but it's hectic, but it's fun. And I could, I tried to make the most of what I could in those 72 hours. It's always a great experience to be there. And like I said, I try to cover as much as possible. Obviously, not everything, but all the favorite brands. Some independent watchmakers also. So it was exciting as always.
Did you feel that the brands booth, did they impact you? Or was there any, lasting impact of a booth?
You know, Anita, so like you mentioned, this is my second time here at Watches and Wonders. I've never been to a Basel, I've never been to an SIHH. So for me, coming to Watches and Wonders and, you know, the larger than life scale at which, you know, these booths are set up is always exciting. And I like the thought process that goes behind each of these booths. So from what I hear, a Rolex or a Patek, you know, they are pretty much similar to what they used to be during the Basel time. And I think you know better than I do. So I like how they have kept that classic feel into their boots. But what I also enjoy as a watch geek, as a tech geek, is some, you know, fun element that has been integrated into the boots. So for example, what Julius Narden did with the Freak, right? The larger than the life installation, which was also like an illusion with the mirror, you know, that caught my attention. We could do so many things in terms of content there. And, you know, also it was a great way to also show what they've launched, because their focus was Freak this year. And, you know, it was such a nice way to put it out there. You cannot literally miss it. I like what Roger Duby, you know, usually does with their booths. You know, it's very sort of tech forward, you know, there are robots moving around.
Yes.
They're making you a coffee or yes, they're getting your drink. So, you know, those are, you know, those tiny things which make a great impact in terms of maybe not the watch collection, I would say, but the way the booths are set up. Mm-hmm. I like, for me, IWC has always been special because I like how they get the whole vintage element into the picture, you know, a car parked inside the booth. And they also had a lot of previous Gerald Genta's displayed there. Very clean, but again, very impactful. Which at the booth, I like the writing instrument, which was displayed at the Montblanc booth, because again, that creates a huge impact on, you know, what their story is. It's not only about watches, but it's how, you know, the brand sort of values where they're coming from and what the inspiration has been for this year. And also Hublot had a nice sort of globe, you know, which was lit up and in different sort of colors, different shades, different sort of elements. So as a tech geek, I enjoy these things, you know, about a watch booth. So I would say, yeah, these were the sort of few booths that I can remember at the top of my head. And for me, they created a good impact, at least from a watch enthusiast perspective and from a tech geek perspective.
I can clearly see that Toys for Boys, the car has made such a big impact on you. But other than that, yes, you're absolutely right. Boots are designed, every detail in a luxury matters. And this is a reflection, or it's a confirmation, that every detail makes a difference when it comes to exhibiting a luxury brand.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you agree with me. Was there any memorable moment which you would like to share with us during these 2.5 days?
Okay, so this is again a fanboy talking. Not many people know that I grew up as a sports person. You know, for me, I always wanted to choose that as a career, which I couldn't pursue that time because, again, things were difficult. You know, sports was not that big back then. There was no IPL or there were no leagues. So, you know, getting into a sport was not always the thing that your parents advise. But I've always been a huge fan of sports. And you also know how some of these luxury brands integrate with sports, whether it's a Formula One or tennis. Mm-hmm. You know, and when it comes to tennis, I'm a huge Roger Federer fan.
Okay.
A very big fan. You know, it's always been a wish list to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, this was so, you know, unplanned, because, you know, at Watches and Wonders, you might just find a celebrity walking around a booth. And, you know, you're just like, okay, this is just another person walking around, you know, another watch fan who's just here to check the watches or represent the brand. I mean, if they're an ambassador of a brand. So I was running from my previous appointment. I was a little late and I was going to my next touch and feel session, and I'm crossing the Rolex booth and I see someone familiar, and I'm like, that looks like Roger Federer. And I cannot be wrong, because that's Roger Federer. And I literally skipped my next appointment. I said, you know, I'll probably figure out how to get that appointment back, but this is my moment.
Which was the next appointment? I shouldn't just ask you that.
I shouldn't mention that, because I managed to get it later, but okay, I completely skipped that. I said, you know, I'm going to wait here, because the security around him was like to crazy. It's crazy, so I cannot get a picture or cannot say hi to him, but it's still a fanboy moment for me to, you know, watch Roger Federer at like a 10 meter distance.
Sure.
So that is one moment I remember from Watches and Wonders 2023 that I can never forget. Hopefully I'll get to meet him soon in person, maybe have a chat with him or a handshake, but that's one, you know, moment I can remember. And the previous day I also spotted David Beckham there. So I'm not like a huge David Beckham fan, but again, as a sports person, you know, he's a big personality. He's someone who's also inspiring people like us to how to, you know, style yourself, how to wear that suit, how to wear that or pair that watch with a jacket. So huge inspiration. So I think back-to-back days of spotting these mega celebrities was sports personalities, I would say, was like a huge moment for me and something I cannot forget. So that's memorable.
It's a good memory to have. And so interesting. I can totally relate this with you because generally at this exhibition, you really don't know when you are going to bump with whom. Here at least you could recognize because there was a lot of crowd. Sometimes it so happens that a celebrity is walking even without a security,
yeah,
just few people, and then you realize, oh my god, I just happened to see this celebrity.
If I may add just one more part to this, so like you said, you know, it's so easy to, or rather it's not like a surprising thing, right, if a mega celebrity is walking around at Watches and Wonders in one of these booths. So from last year till I sort of spotted Roger Federer, I only heard about, oh, Lewis Hamilton was at the IWC booth last year. And I'm like, oh, I missed him because, again, a huge Formula One fan. Then I heard about two other people. Then I missed spotting Julia Roberts this year. And then I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not sort of lucky enough to spot any of these celebrities. But when the Roger Federer moment happened, I'm like, okay, at least I got to, you know, spot my favorite, or, you know, a person who has inspired me, yeah, in his journey. So and that was like a moment for me.
I'm so happy for you, really.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can really relate with it. Did you observe any particular trend this year in Watches and Wonders, and if yes, what that was?
So see, again, I don't call myself a watch expert, so from a lifestyle luxury influencing perspective, I've learned about watches in the last 10-12 years. Apart from obviously my own collection, when I grew up, obviously I was always inclined towards watches, but I always didn't always know the story behind each watch. And now every day, you know, you discover some new brands who have a story, where they come from, what has been their sort of inspiration. So a brand that started in the 1930s, or how did they sort of start the watchmaking process. So from an outsider perspective, what I, at least to the best of my knowledge, I saw a trend across watch brands in terms of their collection this year, that they were reinventing the classics this year.
Reinventing the classics.
Yeah. I figured that a lot of the collections this year were inspired by, you know, bring back the classics, but in a new way, in a modern way. But get the inspiration from where they started. So that is one trend that I noticed across a few brands. One more interesting trend that I, again, from a fashion perspective, I saw that a lot of now watch media, a lot of watch enthusiasts, collectors, influencers make an effort every day to dress up to the occasion. I'm not sure if that was the case back in the days. You are probably the best person to tell me if, you know, that was also the case pre-social media days. But I saw a lot of people making efforts to dress up every day, so that, you know, this is day one, day two, day three. Maybe not, they are not putting it out there, but I could sort of notice this trend across people who I was meeting every day, that, you know, a lot of effort has gone into planning the outfits of the days, what they're wearing, what shoes, what bags they're carrying, and which are the brands they're checking out today, and, you know, accordingly. Like, someone made a comment on my suit that day that, oh, you know, you're dressed up for Rolex today. I said, yeah, maybe, because that was my inspiration, that, you know, today I'm going to check the Rolex booth, so I'll probably...
So how did they guess that you were dressed for Rolex? What did they see?
A burgundy suit that day.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that was a classic. I'm not sure if that connects with the brand in any way, but someone made a comment that, oh, looks like, you know, you're dressed up for Rolex today, so I'll, you know, get my pictures on your wrist. So I'm like, yeah, I mean, fair enough. So I think, but I saw this trend across not only me, but a lot of other people. And maybe you can add on to this if this is a case, or if this was also the case back in the days during Basel or SIHH.
Are you particularly referring to us Indian community?
not only Indian community. I have friends because of being at Watches and Wonders for the second time. I have friends who were from Europe, someone from Africa, someone from Cyprus.
Okay.
But each of these, you know, gentlemen were dressed up to the occasion every day. And they made efforts to plan their suits, their outfits, whether it's a casual outfit, it's a jacket, it's three-piece. But I saw that effort going into, you know, how you're sort of showing up at Watches and Wonders, because it makes an impact. It makes a difference when you're talking to a brand person, you're networking with the watch community. So, I mean, that's a trend I noticed as from my sort of perspective.
For sure, classics have been making a comeback since last year, and it continues. When it comes to the trend of people dressing particularly and taking additional efforts, I feel it's natural, and yes, it does happen. It's not a trend that has happened only this year. It continues. It continues because we just mentioned and we just chatted and we discussed about how every detail makes a difference when it comes to luxury. In the same way, if you do have collection of watches and you are visiting one particular brand, a brand really feels delighted to spot. It's like a conversation starter.
Yeah.
If you are having a Rolex and you are meeting some team from Rolex, it's always preferred that you're wearing a Rolex and going. Or if you have a meeting with IWC and you have an IWC or a Panerai, you will try and wear a watch which will, you know, brand, because it's like your doors open and you are received, right? But it's not only that, it's also an affirmation that you have also invested time and effort to see the brand, the way brand has invested time and effort to exhibit and welcome you.
Yeah.
So it's just an obvious reciprocation.
Yeah.
So this trend actually exists. And it continues. There are most of the people will take effort.
Yeah.
But I would like to stay with this and not let you go off before we get some tips when it comes to your dressing, your collection of watches. How do you decide which watch looks good with which of your suits?
Yeah. So I think that's the simplest part, because I've been collecting suits and watches for a long time. And when I say watches, it need not always be a luxury watch. You know, it's a watch that has a story. So it could be a Seiko, it could be a Casio, or it could be a Panerai, or it could be a Rolex for that matter.
Can I button?
Yeah.
Seiko, Grand Seiko is luxury. Don't worry.
No, absolutely. And Grand
Seiko. And Seiko is very interesting brand. Huh?
Yeah. So, you know, that whole Japanese engineering, whether it's a Seiko or a Citizen or a Casio for that matter. Again, it's very inspiring. They're not Swiss watchmakers, but they also have their own sort of perspective on watchmaking.
Sure.
Which is very inspiring.
Sure.
How their movements are produced. But yeah, I went to the Grand Seiko booth also for that matter, and I really love, again, the Japanese aesthetics. Very clean, very neat. I think the evolution, if I'm not mistaken, the collection, which is a limited edition with like a silver grayish dial, was beautiful. But yeah, Grand Seiko is again a brand that is on my wish list, hopefully owning it soon. But I have a few Seikos, the cocktail dial, again, that has a story. So yeah, coming back to your question, how do I plan? I just make sure that the basic tips for, at least for menswear, that I try and match my shoes to my watch strap to, you know, my color of my suit, or if I'm wearing a safari shirt or a shacket rather. It should not be too loud. At least for me, I like keeping it very clean, minimal, but yet very classic, very sort of classy, rather not classic. So for me, I match my shoes to my watch strap. And if it's a bracelet, then I think it's easy. It's, you know, very versatile, I would say. But I also make efforts to, if I'm attending a watch fair or a luxury event, you know, which is at this scale, I also get some things made specially for the occasion. Yeah, so
interesting.
Because what happens is, when you are investing in your own suit, you know, that stays forever. If you are able to maintain your weight and your measurements, I think that suit, if you select a nice fabric, it stays with you. So you can obviously keep repeating it. But I make sure that I'm not repeating my colors from last year, keeping it different, because social media now has made us, you know, I would say
conscious.
Not only conscious, I don't know, it's not very sustainable for that matter, but you still feel that your audience has already seen you wearing an XYZ watch last year with this suit. So you still have to keep it different for your audience also, because that is a pressure you have as an influencer, right? Because your audience remembers. So keeping all those things in mind, you have to make sure that you're not repeating anything that you wore last year, but still keeping it classy, still keeping it trendy. And then I'm blessed to have friends who are into the designing space, menswear designers. So they also help me a lot with the new trends. We look up on what is the new latest fashion in Italy or Paris, or, you know, what an XYZ celebrity wore here, get inspiration, get things made accordingly. Not copy exactly, but, you know, let's see what the trends are. And then I get to learn a lot from them also. So it's sometimes they experiment on me. So it works both ways.
I'm going to stay here on the fact that you said that you generally try to match the color of your shoes with the watch straps, right? What if your shoes are different color and your watch is a gold? I don't know whether you would wear gold shoes. So how would you match that? I'm sorry, I'm going to ask you this, but you know, that's what it, you know, I'm sure the listeners want to know that.
No, absolutely. I think that's fine. Like you said, you can't wear a golden shoe. But I think the point is to make sure that it's not like a, you know, completely different contrast. Because that'll stand out. Even if it's a, you know, tiny detail on your wrist, a strap, you know, you'll think of it as, you know, something which is something that people might ignore. But if it's too contrasting, it'll stand out. So then if it's a golden strap that you're wearing, then you have to plan your shoes accordingly. Maybe you get a, you know, little very subtle tan so that your watch stands out and your shoe doesn't. So you don't wear colors which pop too much. So you go very neutral on your shoes. So I think that's the trick. I go maybe a very subtle tan, or you can maybe do something which is black. I wouldn't always recommend, because I'm not a huge fan of black shoes and watches, but I would rather say that, you know, if it's a golden watch, it's a silver watch, you can still pair it with a black shoe. A golden watch can be paired with like a tan shoe, but you have to still decide if that color is not standing out. Your shoes then have to be very neutral and your watch has to stand out.
Thank you. I think that really helps, because that was really very, very interesting, and I'm sure that audience will love that. What impressed you the most about this event?
What impressed me the most is 50 watch brands under one roof announcing their releases for the year. Where else will you find something like this? And when we're talking about watch brands, these are the super luxury brands. And when you're talking about luxury as a category, I can't think of any other event which has to offer 50 brands who are announcing their launches for, you know, for the year under one roof, and you get to experience all of them. So, you know, even if you leave the category aside, maybe I haven't explored much. You might know better if, you know, there are other events which are at this scale. But the kind of networking that happens, you get to meet every watch person involved with the brand for those 3 days. So the networking opportunity is immense. And I don't think so. I have experienced something like this. And for me, both the years were different, because first year was more about being there and understanding what this exhibition is all about. And then second year, I was more prepared. I knew, you know, I have to set my meetings. I have to get my touch and feel sessions booked in advance. Who are the people I need to meet? I've already, you know, written my emails to people. So I don't see any other event offering so much in the luxury space. So that is what is most impressive.
Fabulous. I'm sure that Watches and Wonders also would be happy to know that. Thank you. Thank you, Rizwan, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
After all, they are the first touch points that a customer experiences at the exhibition. I mean, yes, it is true that brands invest so much R&D and resources to create experiences for their customers and visitors. Not only do they invest time and effort in introducing new novelties, but also in presenting these thematic, larger-than-life booths. Talking about experiences and booths, I'm delighted to welcome my colleague who traveled with me to Watches and Wonders for the first time. This is what she had to share. This was the first year that Lux Insider team visited Watches and Wonders 2023. And I'm delighted to welcome Ruchika Jain, my colleague, who traveled along with me to Watches and Wonders. Welcome, Ruchika.
Hi, and thank you for having me.
Your experience is something which I feel and I believe that our listeners would be very delighted to understand, because you visited the exhibition for the first time. So how was your experience?
You know, I consider myself so fortunate to be able to experience something of this magnitude, this grandeur. It was out of the world. It was crazy. Like, time just stopped. It is something else which I cannot put into words. It is magical.
Well, I can just only say one thing, that there's just excitement and passion exuding out of Ruchika. One does get mesmerized and one does fall in love with watches once you enter in the world of watches. And you know that very well, because you have spent some time with me. Is there a brand or even a watch that has left a memorable impact on your mind?
Yes, there are quite a few pieces actually, not just one. I love timepieces from Cartier, especially from the Tank collection. Rolex, of course, it's like on everyone's wish list. And Van Cleef & Arpels too, because how poetic those timepieces were.
For sure. It's very, very feminine, right? Cartier is feminine, Rolex is feminine, and Van Cleef & Arpels is feminine. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Ruchika, because, getting first-hand experience for our listeners is extremely valuable. So really appreciate that.
Thank you, and thank you for this incredible opportunity.
That's all from us now. Just like the exhibition authorities take almost a year in advance to plan this, brands take a couple of years to introduce new novelties. The visitors, media, and retailers also spend a lot of time planning how to work their way out during the exhibition. And for us, to make this podcast live, we too spent hours and hours of resources, time, and ideas to get you this podcast episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Before I sign off for now, one last thing. Remember when I said that there was so much happening in Geneva during the Watches and Wonders week? Apart from the exhibition, other brands also showcased their novelties outside the exhibition. I was fortunate enough to discover some of the brands, and I'm excited to share all of it in my finale episode of this special series. Coming next, stay tuned and goodbye for now.